few things that I want to jump into after I've gotten all the superlatives out of the way. Now, if you've been tracking with us for the last, I want to say the last month, with the house, you just finished your Fairground series, right? And with that Fairground series, you explored the joy of living in God's standard, right? And you discussed what the Bible says about fairness and the hot topics. And those are two topics right now, if I can be honest, and we can all be honest, that those are two really hot topics today that you can talk about in any arena, not just in an actual church, but it's happening in our schools. It's happening when we go to the grocery store. It's happening all around us when those two hot topics come into play. And what I love most about that series is that it challenged us to use God's word as a guide. And that series taught us how to allow God's word to define how we interpret culture and not let culture define how we interpret God's word. And so I really enjoyed that series. I think I caught the last of it with Brother Al and I think Brother Ben, if I got his name correct. But I thought that was a really, really great series, which it brought us to the place where I think this Fairground series was a really good segue into what we're going to cover this month, which is the Numbember series. So notice the play on November, Numbember. You got to praise God for Brother Al and his creativity. So that's not me. That's all Al or whomever else was a part of that team. But for that Numbember series, what we're going to cover this actual month is going to talk about from motion to meaning. So again, we're going to unpack what it means to go from motion to meaning. And in this series, we want to simply implore you to let gratitude wake something up in you, right? We know what this month entails and what happens toward the end of the month, but real Thanksgiving doesn't just change your mood, it transforms your heart and it draws you closer to God. So allow gratitude to be the chisel that allows you to break through the cold spirit of numbness. And that's what we want to unpack today. So you want to say, hey, man, well, how do we transform our heart and draw closer to God? Well, I'm a firm believer that we experience transformation by showing gratitude. And thankfulness and gratitude are the gateways to worship. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Thankfulness and gratitude are the gateways to worship. And so when we exude thankfulness and gratitude, regardless of the circumstance or regardless of the situation, the outcome is a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Amen, church? Y'all with me? So as we explore what thanksgiving and gratitude look like, I just simply want to camp in the book of 1 Thessalonians, specifically chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And just to give you some context, Paul writes this letter to encourage the people of Thessalonica to keep up the good work. And if I want to just put it plain and put it simple, avoid the Greek and avoid all the hermeneutics, just he's simply exuding to them, hey, keep up the good work. So after the riots of 51 AD, there was a fear that the Thessalonians would turn away from the faith. But when Timothy returned with the good news that they had remained faithful in spite of trying circumstances, Paul was compelled to acknowledge their faithfulness in this letter. So I love together in unison. It's just three verses. If you can stand, I would love for you to stand. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV, but regardless of what you're reading from, if you have a copy of the scriptures, I guarantee you that we will land at the same time. Reading Thessalonians. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It'll also be on your screen. It simply says this, and I want to read this with conviction. You know, don't just read this as if you're just reading something on a regular basis, like you're reading the newspaper, but this is God's word. Let's read it with conviction and unction. It says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Father, we give your name all the honor. We give it all the glory and we give it all the praise. Holy Spirit, you are here and we welcome you. God, don't let me go anywhere where you are not. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everyone say, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So while we can appreciate, again, what Paul does say here, I love what he doesn't say even more. So he doesn't say a few things. He doesn't say most things. He doesn't say some things, right? He doesn't say only when you're traveling the world or when you get that promotion. He doesn't say when you've reached the zenith of your field and you've gone as high as you can go and there's nowhere else to go. He also means that when the loss that you just experienced is a loss that you did not expect. And it might seem unbearable. Or when your best meal of the week came from a food pantry, right? Or when the doctor's report isn't what you hoped for, let alone what you wanted to hear. Or when a divorce is looming. Or when you are having a hard time with the kids, I can attest to that. I'm just kidding. I love my boys. They're good people. But where I'm trying to say, church, is that Paul says in all things, not select things, but in all things, in everything, give thanks. So it is also worth noting, and I'll have the pronunciation behind me, but it is worth noting that Paul doesn't tell them to give thanks for everything. The preposition used in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is the Greek word in, E-N, which is best translated by the English preposition in, I-N, right? So Paul isn't telling them that they must be thankful for the difficulties or for the triumphs that they were encountering. Instead, he's challenging them to be thankful in any circumstance, right? So case in point, by a show of hands real quick, how many love a good meal? Come on, y'all love to eat. Everybody love to eat, man. I'll give you two hands. If I had more, I'd give you more. But with that, come on. So yeah, here we go. Press. Who's been depressed? Too pressed, not depressed, sorry. That probably, yeah, here we go. Press. Press, Strickland's, Blue Marble, The Lighthouse, 313, right? All these places, and I'll do you one even better. Who's had a field meal? Or three? I've had plenty, right? So all these things are good meals and good food, but as much as I enjoy being waited on by eating out, one thing that I've noticed is that my gratuity is often tied to the service or the host or the wait staff, right? My gratuity is conditional, which means that it's based on how I feel about the service that I just received from the server. It's transactional, which means that I give it for circumstances, which is the antithesis of what Paul is trying to say in this text. He's trying to convey here that we want to be thankful in every circumstance. Regardless of the server, regardless of what the service looks like, still continue to be thankful. Regardless of what your circumstances are, we need to still be thankful, right? So in every circumstance, regardless of how you feel about said circumstance, as Christians, we can't allow our feelings to determine what we sign on that spiritual gratuity line. Right? So now it's November, and we know what holiday again is coming up in a few weeks, but I figure that it would be apropos to simply tag this message as always be thankful. So somebody turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. 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 Always be thankful. So Paul instructs us to show thanksgiving in everything. And I love to discuss how we can pursue this thanksgiving shown in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but as we live this out through a daily rhythm, through the good, through the bad, and through the indifferent. First point, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be thankful in abundance. Amen. So abundance is simply defined as this. It's a relative degree of plentifulness or having more than enough. So growing up, we used to drive a white Ford pickup. So I'm from the Lowcountry. Anybody familiar with the Lowcountry, Hampton County? There we go. Okay. So I'm from Lowcountry, Hampton, South Carolina. My mom's from Pendleton. My dad's from Lyman. So growing up, we used to drive this white Ford pickup. It was an old pickup. We called it it was a Ford, obviously. I don't know how people feel about Fords. The acronym is what? Found on the road dead and fixed or repaired daily. But that's neither here nor there. But my dad called it the horse. And so the horse, as we called her, she would travel from the low country to Estill to the upstate. And she would basically boat race any car or truck that was in her way. But the horse only had room for three people. Now, I'm the last of eight. How did that work out? That math ain't mathing, right? So it didn't have radio, so we had to carry a little box, as my granny used to call it. She didn't call it a stereo, she called it a little box. We had to carry a little handheld box to play our tapes while we were riding in the horse. So all our John P. Key, all our Kurt Franklin, all our Thomas Whitfield, all our James Cleveland, all of that, we had to play it on this little radio. Anybody know who any of those people are? Come on. I'm in the right house, right? I'm in the house. There we go. So the horse didn't have great air either, and it didn't have an extended cab. So my dad, who was an ag teacher by trade, but an engineer by trial, and I said that right, but he thought to strip out a long single van from a seat from a van and put it in the back of the cab of the truck so that we could have a place to sit. That was our extended cab. It was the 90s, man. You can do anything you wanted to do. So everything was legal. But here's the thing. In spite of his limitations of space and appearance, we still knew how to show thanks to the Lord for the horse. Because a few years later, when we were blessed with a brand new 1996 Chevy Silverado, and you couldn't tell us nothing, right? Right. We had cup holders. We had air. And we had an actual back seat. We actually had an extended cab inside the truck this time. So, and also a built-in tape deck. And so I can't speak for my siblings, but I can admit that I began to be thankful for the blessing without remembering the blessor, right? So my posture of thanksgiving for the horse dissipated when I had this misguided appreciation for the horse. So I can recall one Sunday morning when my dad had a conversation with us. My dad was still is a deacon at our church. And it was for Sunday school when we were late because we always ran. You talk about what's the phrase? My parents drug me to church. They drug us to church, man. And so he had a conversation with us one morning. And he talked about how we lack the same energy towards gratitude and appreciation when we had the horse. And this is similar to when Jesus healed the 10 and only one came back to give thanks. We had the posture of the 9. When we got that Chevy. Honesty box, just by a quick show of hands, how many of us forget about God after the dark season ends and he showers us with an abundance of light? I'm just gonna keep it a buck. So said differently, when we get the new car, when we get the new apartment, right? When we get the new house, let's be real, how often do we go back to thank the same God that we pray to daily for all of those things? We tend to have what the doctors like to call it convenient amnesia. Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 12 simply says this, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Yes. Deuteronomy is full of Moses' teaching on how the children of Israel had a problem where they often forgot the things that the Lord had already done for them. Therefore, they forgot to give thanks. Church, let's be careful that we do not forget to show thanksgiving and gratitude, even when we are in a season of abundance and plenty. Amen? Amen. Amen. Point number one, be thankful in abundance. Point number two, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be thankful in adequacy. So adequacy is simply, anybody remember Goldilocks? Differently, it is a state of Goldilocks, which means it's just right. Anybody remember Goldilocks and Three Bears? Well, maybe not my kids, they're not there yet, but we all should. Or just simply having it enough for the season that you're in, or just simply being content, right? So far too often, we get in this state between abundance and lack, and we begin to peek over the fence like Wilson on Home Improvement, just trying to gander at the lawn next door to see if the grass is greener on the other side, or to see what our neighbors are doing and what they have that we don't, right? So we want to see if we have enough compared to those neighbors. But let's, church, let's just be honest. How many of us have fallen to this state where we look to see what others may have and we tend to ignore the sufficiency that God has given us and compare what we have to everyone else? Let's just be real. How many of us have done that? I'm sure you've heard this adage, and I want you to finish this, but comparison is a thief of joy. Right. I love it. But I want to switch that. Right. I want to say that comparison is a thief of happiness. And I'm intentional about it because joy isn't predicated on the circumstances. It is a gift from the Lord, right? But happiness can be stolen away by comparison because in order to be happy, you have to have something happening, right? So we're so caught up in keeping up with the Joneses by focusing on what we don't have, and we forget to give thanks to the Lord for the things that we actually do have. So the great theologians, and I'm pretty sure you know them, William Devine and Chris Bridges, a.k.a. Ludacris, depending on your age bracket, they once said that, and finish this if you know it, it says, though you may not have a great big Cadillac with TVs and antennas in the back, but you may not even have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Come on, y'all know it. Y'all know William Devine. But you can still stand tall. And then he finishes the line with, just be thankful for what you got. For what you got. Just be thankful for what you got, right? So that 1974 classic was a call to appreciate the present state that you're in and to be thankful for it. Philippians 4:12 says this, I know what it is to be in need. and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content, and in every situation, church, Paul is showing us what it means to be thankful in a season of contentment and a season of adequacy. Amen. First point, be thankful in abundance. Second point, be thankful in adequacy. Third and final point, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be thankful in absence. So absence is simply this, the non-existence or a lack of something. But the connotation that we're going to use for today is going to be an absence of that relationship that you wanted, an absence of children in some cases. And whatever lack means to you, whatever you are lacking, whatever that absence, whatever that something that you don't have at the moment means to you. Well, in the year of 2017, God blessed us with two boys in Thomas and Samuel. That beautiful wife I mentioned earlier, she carried them for both 15 and 16 weeks, respectively. And so when we were in that hospital room for the second time with Samuel, we were in another state of shock and disappointment because we felt that we were doing all the right things. And so we were tithing, we were serving in the church faithfully, we were walking with the Lord, and we had this sense of entitlement that those things just don't happen to people like us. Losing children, they don't happen to people like us because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But something happened in that hospital as we knew that Samuel had taken his last breath, and we decided to take a different posture. So during our time in the hospital with Sam, there was a moment when there was a medical issue that that could have been fatal. She could have died. And so we were in this waiting period, and while waiting, the Lord simply impressed upon our hearts and our spirits to worship the Lord in singing and calling on Jesus in prayer. And church, at that particular moment, God intervened and he healed. In that very moment, as soon as our posture changed from angst to worship and to thanksgiving, the Lord quickly changed our situation. So we decided to take the posture of thanksgiving. And as I said up top, that thankfulness and gratitude are the gateways to worship. And worship allows true intimacy with the Father, who is a lover and a fighter, and that he will rejoice over us with singing, and he will fight our battles, according to Zephaniah 3 and 17. But as we left the hospital without a baby, we left with gratitude that day. And we still had each other. And more importantly, we still had the Father, right? So Rhea worked in a daycare where she dealt with kids on a daily basis. And you can just imagine being in that situation when you just lost two boys, two pregnancies, right? But you're still having to care and love on other people's children. And you still have to take that posture of, Lord, in all of my circumstances, not for, but in everything, I still have to give you thanks. So, you know, as we went through this, right, as difficult as the season was, we couldn't allow it to hinder us from giving him what's due. And it was our thanksgiving and our praise. But church, how many know that God is faithful in his kindness and his faithfulness? And he eventually blessed us with two handsome boys, and they love Jesus, and they love mama, and they love each other. That's Max and Maverick. And so whether we walked home with a boy on each of our next hospital visits or not, we were reminded of God. And it is he who made us, and we are what? We are his, that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Church, he is faithful. Let's be honest. Whenever something belongs to you, you take care of it. Do you not? Everything that you drove in here on, everything that you put on to come here, you took care of that because it belongs to you, right? So we belong to him, and church, he is faithful. So what belongs to him, he cherishes. So he cherishes us, and he looks after us. He looks after his sheep, and how can you not serve a God like that? Amen? Amen? So real quick, first point, be thankful in abundance. Second point, be thankful in adequacy. And last point is to be thankful in absence. You know, it's funny that the world can get things right that we as the church often struggle to do so. Herbert Stein, an economist of all things, says this: if something cannot go on forever, it will stop. If something can't go on forever, it will stop. So we can't stop being thankful. We can't stop entering to this personal, intimate space of worship where we always have to be thankful. If we stop the appreciation and gratitude, we're going to end up with this sense of entitlement, this sense of pride. And that is the antithesis of who God is, as the antithesis of his countenance towards us. Listen, church, listen, I know the old folks love this song, but honestly, this is just a rehearsal. Because when we get to heaven, Revelation says that we are going to really sing, Revelation 7. So as we are preparing for that, this is just a dress rehearsal. Let's just worship and let's show that Thanksgiving and gratitude now. Why wait? Why wait? If you can't do it now, you think you won't even have the opportunity to do it then, right? So this is just a rehearsal, because when we get to heaven, we are going to really sing. We're going to really worship. We're going to really show gratitude. We're going to really show thanksgiving. So we need to make sure that we're keeping that same energy down here than we do when we are with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So with that, has anyone ever seen this meme? And Sister Deneen, you are a jewel. I appreciate you. Anyone ever seen this? ABC? Don't think about the movie. I don't endorse the movie. Don't watch the movie. You didn't get that from me. But I won't even tell you the name of the movie. But this is a famous meme that you'll see as Alec Baldwin is simply imploring his people to always be closing. So this meme and this phrase is very popular, because you're going to see it in sales meetings. You'll see it in pitch decks if you're some kind of exec, or you're going to see it as a rallying cry for a sports team. And it simply means to make sure that you close the deal, or close the sale, or close out, or eliminate the opponent in order to advance in a playoff situation. But let's take the challenge and change that last letter from a C to a T. And let's challenge ourselves to always be thankful, right? If I have enough, or I'm in my Goldilocks season, right? Well, always be thankful. Or I have more than enough. Lord, you have blessed me this season. You have given me an abundance of fill in the blank. But let's continue to always be thankful. Or my car's in the shop. I had a bad doctor's report. Or there's plenty of drama at home and very little food. Always, always, church, be thankful. So as we bring our time to a close here, I just want to leave you with two application questions. The first question is this: how can we show our gratitude in serving others this season? Right? I love how you were talking about it, Brother Jerry, with the pantry, and Phil, you as well, about your vision of what you want this house to look like when it comes to being able to give to others, right? To be a house on the hill, a city on the hill, rather, that is that your doors are open to all who may come and all who may enter in need of fill in the blank, right? How can we continue to do that at a high level? Because there's still need here. There's still need, even if there's need to not necessarily replenish the food pantry, but somebody to volunteer and to serve in it to make sure that it's open when it needs to be open, right? There's still a need. So my question to you is, how can you jump in and get involved in serving opportunities? If you're not serving already, but what are some other ways that you can serve, whether in this house or out in the community? The second question is this, is how can we start off the day in Thanksgiving? How can we, Lord, you better tell the Lord, in Thanksgiving and start off the day. My mom always taught me, said, son, before your feet hit the floor, you better tell the Lord, thank you. Before they touch the floor, you better tell the Lord, thank you. Before that plantar fasciitis kicks in, you better tell the Lord, thank you. and what was funny, I remember I was in a dorm room with my college roommate, and I just kind of repeated that practice. And he was like, bro, what are you saying? Every time you get out of the bed, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Whether you say it in your head or say it in your heart, say it. Whether you say it out loud, say it. Thank you, Lord. Tell the Lord, thank you. Start off the day in his word, and I guarantee you that if you start off in Thanksgiving, watch your attitude and your mood shift. Your day will be a lot different. It will be a lot different. To know God is to study his word and to meditate on it day and night, because in his word, he is simply telling you who he is and what he is all about. And as you explore that, it'll give you more reason to truly tell him thank you. So remember that in the times of the Old Testament, God's presence was in a fixed place, right? To be in God's presence was a fairly complex ordeal, where each area had certain restrictions and permissions. The outer court was accessible to all of us. But then the holy place was only acceptable to the priest. And then the holiest place was only acceptable to the high priest. And that was once a year. Once a year. But now through Jesus Christ, we can now worship him in spirit and in truth, and not just once a year, and not just on Sundays. So what does your Monday through your Saturday look like? You know, right? And so because of that, you now have full and complete access. Access was granted as soon as that veil was torn, and now we all have equal access to the throne. Use that access. Don't treat this like a Disney subscription or a Hulu subscription that you don't even use. You're paying for it, but you don't even use the benefits of it, right? How many subscriptions do we have now based off of what we had with cable, you know? We're not even using so many of the things that we have, but right now, the Lord is giving you equal access. Use it. Your access has been granted, right? So he's inviting us to get to know him. So try him, and I guarantee that you won't be disappointed. What does the word say? Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? He may not be better than the Phil Mill. All good, Phil, but you're second. I give you that. But the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. So, church, I just want to encourage you. Now, I'll say this, and I'll be done. This isn't a prophetic word, but as I read through this, and the Lord led me to Thessalonians, I looked at why Paul wrote this letter. Because they had some adversity. They had some situations that were hard to deal with. But the church, I just want to encourage you, Judah, that there's something in that letter that is a reminder of to who this church has been in spite of adversity, in spite of difficulties, in spite of challenges, that you have remained faithful and you have remained thankful through this entire ordeal. No season is wasted, and God sees you, and he knows you, and you are his. Amen? Amen. Isn't that enough to be thankful for, church? Come on, tell the Lord thank you. Tell the Lord thank you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your kindness. God, you have just been so, so good to us and so kind. Lord, we ask that you fix our hearts on not letting culture determine how we see you, but make sure that this word is going to determine how we see and how we view culture. Make our Mondays through our Saturdays different. Let this not just be a religious thing where we just get up and come to church on Sundays, and then when we go home, we don't read our words. But let us meditate on this day and night so that we can continuously show gratitude. We love you, we thank you, and we give your name all honor, we give it all glory and all praise. And everyone said,